Good morning, church. Good morning, beloved. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. I say this every single week, but it's still as true as it was last week. We thank you for the breath of life that we have in us today. Let us never take that for granted, that we woke up this morning and that we have another day here on this earth. And Father, we have made a conscious decision to be in church this morning. We know you're going to honor that. And now as we come to you and begin this worship this morning, we come to you, Father, in spirit and in truth, the way that you want us to come to you. And Father, we just ask once again that your Holy Spirit would be here present, moving in and among us, in total control of this service, having your way this morning. We thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air are silent to call out your name. The earth has no voice, and I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rocks be kept silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. Well, time marches on, with innocence gone, and the darkness has covered the earth. But his spirit still dwells, he speaks it as well, and the hopeless still offer new birth. He will break the leash of death, it will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free, join the dance and sing. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen.
Aren't you glad we didn't do all the good songs last week?
Hallelujah.
Song that Jesus gave me, it was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, 'tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Will be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. To be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Thank you, Lord.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. I see all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above. faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Lord.
That song is truly applicable to us now, but I believe it's going to be even more so during the tribulation period.
Amen.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, because it's going to seem very dark. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. It doesn't matter what Satan and his world rulers have planned at that point, withholding food, water, shelter from us. God will provide. It says, great is thy faithfulness, and morning by morning, it means every single day, new mercies we will see. And all that we have needed, his hand has provided or will provide. Great is his faithfulness to us, is it not?
Sin simple heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgiveness lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, from tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me.
Amen.
There's a good moral in this chorus. You know, when someone's in trouble, we reach out in mercy and we help them. But many times, we don't do it with tenderness. We say, you know, just get out of here, let me help you up, right? I know that there's times where my boys do something, they need my help, but I'm just so angry at what they've done. They've broken something. But Jesus, he's never like that. Every time he comes to us, it's with a tender hand. He lifts us up, sets us on our feet, dusts us off with tenderness. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
If someone were to ask you, well, what's so amazing about grace? That gives you an opportunity to share your faith, does it not?
Amen. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
In the sight of the Lord.
And he shall lift you up higher and higher. And he shall lift you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself sight of the Lord.
Humble myself in the sight of the Lord.
And He,
shall lift
you up higher and higher.
And He shall lift
you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he shall lift
you up
higher and higher.
And he shall lift you up
into heaven.
And he shall lift you up
higher and higher.
And he shall lift you up.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, the disciples and Jesus, they're walking one day, they're traveling along, and they're arguing amongst themselves, right? Saying, who was going to be the greatest? Well, I'm going to sit on the right hand of Jesus. It's going to be me. I'm going to be second, and so forth. And what we get out of that is when Jesus, at the Last Supper, you know, he took a wash basin, a cloth, he humbled himself, and he said, you call me Master, and you call me Lord, and you are, it is so. But if I am your Master, and I am your Lord, and I do these things, follow my example. And so we sing about this. This is actually taken from 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter was a humble man after a certain amount of time. Because in the garden he said, Lord, if all these guys fail you, I won't. He was the first to melt. Later he said, I'll never deny you. Denied him 3 times. Immediately after the 3rd time, Jesus walks past and he just hangs his head in shame. But Jesus didn't forget him. And so he said, tell the disciples, remember, and Peter. Tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter learned, he said, that's why he wrote, you know, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You don't have to worry about lifting yourself up. He will lift you up. And if he doesn't want to, so be it. And if he does want to, that's okay too. But nevertheless, we're secure in who we are. Amen?
Hide me in your holiness.
More beautiful. shares with you.
Amen.
You think about that. Yes. Everything we possess, everything we would strive to possess here on this earth, when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter. And we stand before Jesus, it's none of it's going to matter. We'll have forgotten about it instantly. There will only be one thing on our mind, and that's what's in front of us. And everything will be behind us at that point, and we won't even be thinking about it. Standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at last. And to be able to hear those words that we all want to hear. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Amen.
He is the Lord of heavens, Lord of earth. He is the Lord of all who live. He is the Lord of all the universe. All praise to him we give. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heavens and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. And I thank you, Lord, for having it your way today. Having your way as I pray, have it your way, O Lord, all the day long. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray today, let your name be lifted up. Let your name be magnified. Oh, let your name be made known unto all the earth. And we want to thank you and praise you today, O Lord, for a day of victory, for a glorious day, for a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that we are, Lord, we depend upon you, Lord. We rely upon you. We trust in you. Our confidence is in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Father. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we know whom to call in a time of need, but also in the time, O Lord, of rejoicing. We call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. We want to thank you today, O Lord, for touching each and every one of us. We pray today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for having it your way. Thank you that we are not going to live the same as we came. And we pray, Father, that you touch every part of this business. You touch, O Lord, the ministry of the music. You touch, O Lord, the pastors. He will deliver the message to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving him freedom to preach today and let the word come out with power. We thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord, for victory today. Thank you for touching everyone that gives a testimony. That your name be glorified, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this body of believers. Thank you, Lord, that you are said in your word, O Lord, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment that falls upon the head and goes down. As he touched Aaron and went down to his beard, down to his skirt. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for unity in this body of believers. Let us all be in one accord. Let us all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory in this body of believers. We pray in the name of Jesus. And let us be hungry and thirsty, O Lord, to come closer to you, to worship you, to praise you, to lift your name higher and higher. And Lord, as we are about to receive this offering, we thank you, Lord, that you are a provider, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God that shall supply all our needs. And we want to thank you today, O Lord, for putting in our hearts to give to the work of the Lord, to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have all sufficiency, always in all things, it may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you today for victory. We thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord and worship you and praise you and lift your name high and higher. It's wonderful, Lord. It's a delight. It's a pleasure. Lord, we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory and all the honor today. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Going to have testimony time. I do want to give a little report on that tea party I told you about last week. I went there Friday with some others. So there was about, I would say, a couple thousand people there, somewhere in that area. And it was the kickoff to a nationwide Tea Party program. Anyway, they're going from city to city. They had two very nice buses that they're going and heading for D.C. So it was good to see some Americans rising up a little bit and saying, hey, we had enough, but we need to see more out there. So, and pretty much it was a secular event, though. But I did receive some gospel tracts from some people, so it was good. Okay, any testimonies this morning? Does anybody have a testimony? I've got a quick testimony. I had a job given to us last Tuesday, so a guy called me up. I went over there, and within an hour, we had the job. So any job you get this day and age is a big blessing. So God is faithful to keep them coming in for us in a starvation market for contractors. So, and I got another job also, a commercial job in Red Bluff. So got to bit them down real skinny. But at least we got them. Okay, any testimonies? Joanne?
Good morning. Whoops, good morning. He said I could go first. And this morning, we just want to praise the Lord God Almighty. He's awesome. He's moving on people all over America. And if I look a little bit red skin, it's because I got a lot of sun for 4 hours, sat in the shade for 1 hour. And we went to our first Boston Tea Party. I call it a Boston Tea Party down at the state capitol Friday. And we were told that by the people that were taking signatures to audit the Fed that about 10,000 were in and out that day. I don't know. But there was a lot. They said that was about 10,000. They had gotten 1,000 signatures by then. So praise God. And tractors from farmlands lined the place. Truckers surrounded the Capitol at one point. And Speaker spoke constantly for 5 hours about no jobs, no water, no to the health bill, and no to everything against the people. And they were loud and clear about it. And a lot of noise was made. And it's awesome to me to see the people coming together peaceably but firmly saying no to the one world order. And there was one man in the audience, and he tried to cause a disturbance. And the speaker said, get the police over there. And she had us all saying the same thing, two or three words, over and over until they arrested the guy and got him out of there. And other than that, it was very peaceable. And I talked to two people who were Christians that said God told them to run for office. And one is a black man from San Diego County named Mason Weaver. And you can get him, masonweaver.org. He's running for California Assembly down in San Diego County. And I talked with another lady, Sharon Angle. God told her to run for office. So he's coming with his people. We pray more and more will join the ranks. And this black man, Mason Weaver, talked about, he's a Christian, and he's black. And he said how in the old days, all his people worked or they didn't eat. And the crowd went wild, and there was no welfare in those days. And they really went wild when he said that. So it was really an awesome thing to hear this man speak. He was very real. I felt like it was coming from his heart, not a made-up writer giving him words. And we just want to praise God for our first tea party we went to. It was really interesting. And my beginning in saying no to things that are wrong and bad for the people happened when I was in the eighth grade. And a couple of friends of my parents down in Watsonville there was hardly any money to be had or jobs either. And they were giving out communist literature, and they were paying them to do this. And after about 2 weeks, my parents went to friends, and they went to these people and said, if you don't stop this, you're going to get tarred and feathered and carried down Main Street on a pole. And they left overnight. Never saw them again. Never heard from them again. But that was my beginning in this kind of thing. And the group getting signatures for auditing the feds said they took a count. And I said, if I sign this, will I be on a hit list? And everybody laughed. And I says, I'm already on 5 or 6, so one more isn't going to make any difference. So there were people from all over California and other places too, I imagine. And these people mean business, but in all their efforts, if they forget God, they won't have the victory that they need and want. And it seemed to me after talking to some of the leadership that they're afraid and have a fear of man if they talk about Jesus. I guess they think they're going to get arrested or something. But they don't know that Jesus Christ will protect them if they don't have fear. If they have fear, he's blocked out. And they can't get the victory that they really want. They'll get some victory, but they can't get the full victory. And they talked about George Washington having victories because of his love of God and Thomas Jefferson. And these two men, as far as I see, were open about their feelings for God, and God gave them the victory. And out of 5 hours worth of speakers, we heard God's name mentioned once by one speaker and then once by another speaker. And a lady said God's name 2 or 3 times, and that was it for 5 hours. And one lady sang a patriotic song, God Bless America, and that was beautiful. And I was hoping they'd have the whole congregation sing God Bless America or something like that, but they didn't. Anyway, well, I'm going to talk about that later to somebody. And we're now praying, Father God, Lord Jesus, make these Americans bold and speak out about you and trust you. above anything man might say or do to them. Have them trust you. And those that have pastors, we're praying that the pastors are going to preach about boldness like Pastor John does and have them hold it up. And I held this sign up and walked up and down and all over those grounds for about 45 minutes. And then I just walked back and forth in front of the speakers. And every 15 to 20 minutes, somebody would ask if they could photograph the sign. And I saw two other signs out there out of the thousands saying, God loves you. So three is all I saw. I don't know how many Thomas saw. And after they shot the first side, then I'd turn it around to the back side. Oops. And they'd take a photo of it. Only had two people turn away when they read the bottom line. Jesus loves you. Do you love him? And so as many as I could, I asked, are you born again? And many of them said yes, and many of them said no and kept moving on. And a lot of people would look at the sign and give me a thumbs up from way back in the crowd where I couldn't talk to them. And if you want to evangelize, hit on a tea party. There's many people that aren't saved. And we'll be going to many more of them and speaking out about God and how they don't need to have fear. If they do, they block out God from their efforts. And we just praise and thank God for knowing how to pray now. And we're praying for water for Fresno farmers. We're praying for truck drivers to have work. And that the controlled leadership that's in now be voted out and true Christians be voted in. In the name of Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now it's his turn.
It was a wonderful wonderful day that day. It was hard. Very hot. We kept going around and around. I mean, nonstop. We had the opportunity to witness to quite a few people. And there were a lot of wonderful speakers that, with boldness and everything, that really we enjoyed their boldness and their courage that they went out to speak against this, against the health plan, against Obama, and all those kind of things. But one thing they lacked, they never spoke, like Joanne says, they never spoke about the Lord, but very limited. And what they are doing now, they're doing it in the flesh, they're not doing it in the spirit. And that's where they lack. But if they put God first, if they acknowledge who their source is and put him first, it will be a successful operation. I mean, they had everything except what they should have had. I mean, to have the Lord in the center of their efforts, in other words, to seek him first in every area of their lives. And that's what I miss to hear, in other words. One wonderful thing that happened, Joanne came to me and she says, those guys there, that there were three guys dressed in uniform, most probably like the Puritans. And they were sitting in a position of attention. I mean, they were not moving a muscle.
Day.
And the only thing that they did any time that the speaker spoke something that that was interesting, they started shouting. I mean, but they were there faithfully, and Joanne spoke to them, and she found out that they were Catholic. So at the end, I went over to them and I said, I'd like to speak to you guys. After we finish everything, I'd like to come and speak to you. And they said, okay. So they gathered together and we formed a circle around this in the sand there. I wanted them to sit down, but they didn't want to sit down. But then we started talking and I told them, I heard that you guys and you look that you are religious people, I said. So what I want to recommend, are you born again? They said, well, we're not born again. Okay, would you like to be born again? Would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God will bring you to a higher level, and you have that intimacy and the personal relationship with the Lord and all this? So they said, eventually they agreed, and they said yes. So we led them to Christ, all three of them. They accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it was wonderful that they were in the hats, but as soon as we started praying, they took the hats off. One left it, and the other guy took it out from here, took it off. Yeah. And it was wonderful. They were nice young people, well-dressed, healthy, and everything. And they were hungry to hear something about the Lord, and before long, I mean, they accepted Christ, and it was a wonderful experience, I mean, to see those young men come to Christ and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. So that's my testimony.
I have one more goodie. We came home, and I had to go to the store for the food for today. And I went to Rayleigh's, and when I came out, there was a most beautiful sunset. And there was a young man who pushes carts walking across in front of me. I said, "Isn't that gorgeous?" And he says, "Yes." I said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" "Yes." "Do you know Jesus?" "Yes." "Are you born again?" "No." Anyway, his name is Tony, and he accepted Jesus. And I did a satirist sinner's prayer with him. I don't usually do that, but God had me do it with him. That means lengthy. So we just praised God for everything that happened. It was awesome. And I'm going to be going to some of the other tea parties and speaking out about Jesus Christ. I believe God's going to have me do that. So I just thank you, Lord, for helping me.
So we got some good detail there. All right. Okay, Karen?
Well, I had the opportunity today, this week, to share the gospel with a young lady, a 27-year-old, who I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity. My old masseuse left, and so basically I had this woman's undivided attention for an hour and a half, and I asked her, you know, what she believed in, and she basically told me, that she thought she was a good person, and, she believed in karma, and she wasn't sure if she believed in God and whether God was a he or a she. And so, you know, my comment was kind of, well, that's too bad. I said, let me tell you a little bit about myself. And, you know, I used to have some very similar beliefs to what you have. And I want to tell you what happened to me and, basically what happened. So, we just kind of started off, and she was listening. Of course, you know, there was nowhere she could go. I just basically told my story about how things were when I was growing up, and how incredibly shy I was, and how I found drugs and alcohol to open up and expand my mind and to be more, out there. And I told her about my first drunk and the consequences, all the things that go along with drinking and doing drugs and the situations that you get yourself into. And then I told her that that I used to be I had bought the whole feminist lie, and I was very competitive with men, whether it be physically or in sports or, intellectually. And then I told her that I used to be pro-choice, but I had changed my mind after I suffered the consequences and of murdering my baby. And her, you know, up to that point, she was just kind of listening, and we were kind of interchanging. And at that point, she said, "Whoa, I don't believe that abortion is murder." And we had quite an excellent, excellent conversation after that point, because we talked about what constitutes murder and who makes the call about what is murder and what is not murder. So I talked to her about God and about, you know, if he is the judge, if you're going to acknowledge that there is a God and he, let's say he's the judge, and we're the defendants or we're the people on the stand, do we have the right to determine, to make the rules, number one, and determine whether, you know, killing a bunch of people who are criminals, who are stealing from us, basically, is that an acceptable form of murder versus murdering the baby that is living inside of us? That is a very small, miniature human being, you know, and she basically gave me all the, you know, all the lies and stuff that everyone's been taught growing up in school. And, you know, I learned them all myself, too. And I just rebuffed everything that she had to say. And I, she's obviously likes to learn. And I told her that she needed to do an internet search on Margaret Sanger. And she said, "That sounds familiar." And I said, "Well, she's the one who founded Planned Parenthood." And, you know, she had a totally different idea of what the Planned Parenthood is today. But not just, you know, Planned Parenthood is a very bad organization anyways. And she said, "Oh, I like Planned Parenthood. I go there. I get free birth control pills." And so, I mean, you know, this is the kind of interaction that I was having with her. And then I started telling her about how I got to the end of my rope, so to speak, and the last year or so of when I was drinking and in total rebellion. And I had joined a church, and I had gone to this marriage retreat, and how I got drunk, so terribly, terribly drunk on the way over to this marriage retreat, and how I spent the entire marriage retreat very, very sick and with pancreatitis, and, you know, I just reeked like alcohol, but everyone there was so loving and accepting that they looked beyond that. And it was then just like within a few months later that I became born again, and I told her about that. And so she wanted to know how you become born again. And so we talked about that. And then she still kept trying to defend herself and telling me that she was a good person, that she was right with God and this and that. And I said, "You know, I don't think you are." And she tried to tell me that, you know, who was I to tell her that? And I said, "Well, I'm really no one. You know, God is the judge, and you have to follow and play by his rules. They're not my rules. They're his rules." And so I suggested that she started by, you know, reading in the Bible and reading the Gospel of John, and asked her if she had a Bible. She sort of did, didn't know where it was or anything. And I said that I actually had a small Bible with me that I had been reading, and I was willing to give it to her, you know, something she could slip in her pocket or her purse, but she didn't want that. And then it came down to, like, the end of the session, and she said, "Oh, I can't believe it. An hour and a half is up, you know, and I don't want you to go." She said, normally when she's with working on other clients, you know, the time's just dragging by and she's looking at her watch and thinking, "You know, I don't want to, you know, I wish this would hurry up." And she said, "This is just, She goes, and what do I have to do to become, to repent and to be born again? And I said, well, we already talked about that. You know what you have to do. But again, she wasn't ready. So, came out of the room and, she was just so, she had been trying to tell me that she was crazy and this and that. And I'm telling her, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. You just, there's a plan for your life and you're rejecting it right now is what you're doing. And, so she took my hands and she said, it was so nice to talk to you. I haven't opened up like this to anyone for such a long time and I want you to come back. And I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. Not a problem. So, you know, there's more to tell on this story. Her name is Dawn. If anyone would like to pray for her. And I just was so jazzed when I left there because, you know, it's not too often that you get someone's undivided attention. And it can be really hard to do that sometimes out and about. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit is there, and they've already got a hold of that person, and they're your divine appointment, then, you know, the timing is just perfect. So, praise God. I look forward to another meeting with Dawn.
Amen.
Okay. Charles, you got a testimony?
Pastor John is getting twitchy. He wants to come up here. You can see that. He wants to come on up. I wouldn't normally share what I was going to say right now except for Karen's testimony. I also had a small divine appointment this week. And it's in a bookstore, major bookstore. We won't do any free advertising for it. But I'm holding David. We had all gone in to Katerina wanted to get some books, and so I'm holding Dave, and I'm just walking through the different aisles, and I wanted to get to where I knew where the Bibles was, but I actually had never been in the store before, and so I'm just kind of going through it, and there's New Age, and you wouldn't believe the titles that they had on there, and some of the covers. I was just thinking, wow, there are some confused people just waiting to come in there and just be even more confused. And so I finally got to the religious aisle. That's what they call it. And there were Bibles there. And so I'm just going in and just looking at all the different titles that they have. And they got a fair selection of bastard Bibles sitting in there with a couple real Bibles sitting on the shelf. And so I'm just kind of looking around and I noticed there was this girl. She was there. And so I walked around and came back again, came back a third time, and she was there. And every time I came back around, she's holding a different Bible, just kind of looking at it. So finally, I'm like thinking to myself, okay, God, is this, you know, you want me to talk to her? What do you want me to do here? So finally, I just asked her, I was like, are you looking for anything specific? She's like, well, I'm looking for a Bible. She's like, I got an NIV now, but I'm looking for maybe something more. I thought, well, there you go. We can definitely work off of something more with an NIV. It's a lot less than if you take some scissors and just start cutting stuff out. So I said, well, it really depends on what type of Bible you want. I said, do you want a Bible that you can trust? I said, because there's literal translations and there's these things where you have to trust that they're going to tell you what their paraphrase is actually all about. And so I probably explained it in about 30 seconds, and I said, the King James falls in the literal thing. She's like, yeah, but it's all the these and thous. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, I read it too, and I don't talk like that. I just read it as, you know, you or you all, because it has plural, right? And I said, if you go with these other Bibles, and I just pointed at the different ones, we got the Message Bible, the New Living Translation, the NIV, and so forth. I said, you have to literally trust that they know what they're talking about because you don't know what the translation actually said. You're reading off of a dynamic equivalency, which is, it's a whole trust issue is what it comes down to. So unless you personally know the translators and you can vouch for them, it's very iffy because you don't really know what God wanted you to know. Well, about that time I was holding David and he decided, we've been standing still far too long, it's time to get moving again. And so I was like, well, I got to get going. And, you know, I just kind of walked off and came back maybe a couple minutes later and she was gone. But I just thought to myself, you know, there's just a little appointment, plant a little seed. You know, it's up to her to do the research. If she's hungry for the truth, she's going to find it. So a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's not all about one person, you know, doing mass evangelism, but all of us doing a little bit here, a little bit there, and together, corporately, we accomplish a whole lot.
Praise the Lord, and good morning to you. We have a full schedule here this morning, and I would like for you, I didn't give the scripture to the people in the back there, but in the book of Acts, chapter 13, on April the 16th, 1967, I was licensed into the ministry, and I didn't know a whole lot of things. I was simply just more or less just loved the Lord, and we have actually voted on to license a man here today, and today we're going to just pray for him and to give him his certificate or. But I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 13, and from verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Today is a day for Charles Terrell to receive his license and to be prayed over. And we are simply saying this, that God has called him into the ministry, and as a church, we are vouching for that he has been called into the gospel ministry. And this is a certificate that we put up on the wall with the rest of them. And so at this time, I'm going to first ask my elders to come forward. And why don't you get a bottle of oil? And then we're going to ask Charles to come forward here. And we're going to have you, matter of fact, come on up here and stand here for just a couple of minutes here. We have a home church here, and we also got a church, what I would call an international church, where we have people in different parts of the world. And this is my nephew. I'm his uncle. I don't know which way it goes.
You're mine.
Okay. And right now, he's about as heavy as me. Maybe he weighs a little bit more than I do, but there was a time when I held him in my hands, and he was probably about maybe less than 28 inches long, and you were not giving me a lot of lip, and you were nice. And this is when he was dedicated to the Lord. And at that time, God spoke to me and said, pray for him because I have called him into the gospel ministry. Well, 10 years ago, he came up here. He's been in our church now for 10 years and served very well. And there's no doubt that God has called him to be a minister of the gospel. So would you stand and would you kneel here as we pray for you? And that God will deeply bless you. Would you put some oil on him? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that the day has come, Father God, we can dedicate and simply say we believe that you have called Charles Terrell into the ministry. And Father God, today he's not a baby anymore. He's a man. He's a father and a husband. And Lord, we just ask you right now. When I was prayed for, Father God, many years ago, 1967, I did not have to face the time of tribulations. I did not have to face the things, Lord, that this man is going to have to face. And I pray for boldness. I pray for strength. I pray, Father God, that he will not look to the left nor to the right, but he will look forward, and his head will be like flint, and he would say, thus says the Lord God Almighty, let the chips fall where they fall. Lift up his wife and his children. Have you blessed the entire family today, Father God? Have you thanked that you gave him a godly woman, Lord, to standing by his side, and sons, and a daughter to come, Lord? And I just praise you right now as we dedicate him at the resurrection life of Jesus Church on this day, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, that you touch Charles Thorell. Lord, let the anointing fall upon him, we pray, in the name of Jesus, in such a mighty way. Let it increase, O Lord, the anointing that already has. Give him discernment. Give him word of knowledge. Let him be, O Lord, on fire for you. And I agree, O Lord, for boldness, steadfastness, being unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as he knows, there's no, his labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we want to thank you and praise you also, Lord, for filling him today with the knowledge of thy will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for the wisdom that you've given him. And thank you, for Lord, for what you have in store for him. And we bless you and thank you, Lord, for opening doors wide open in his ministry, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the talents that you have given him. Let it be an increase there as well, we pray, Father. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord. Thank you also, Lord, for saturating him with your love, with your peace in his heart. Thank you for unity in the home. And thank you for everything, Lord, that you have in store for Charles Thorell. And we bless you and thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Okay, you may be seated for just a moment. We're also going to pray and ordain a deaconess here today. And at this time, I'm going to ask my only male deacon I have, and Sister Joanne and Sister Lois, there are two deaconesses. Would you come on up here with us on the platform? So all the deacons of you come up. To those of you that are watching us right now, I have two elders, Brother Thomas and Brother Satiris, and you just saw us pray here for Pastor Charles. And these are my deacons. I got two deaconesses and one deacon that happened to be my brother. So praise God for family ties. You know, to be a deacon or deaconess is something that you are called to be. And we've had a lady in our ministry now for some time, and she's been putting in a lot of work, a lot of prayers, and she's a woman of God. So we prayed and we decided, appointed her last week, Carol Rose West. Would you come on up here at this time? And we simply have acknowledged her as a deaconess, and that she has a servant heart. And we are very happy to have you here. And we're going to pray for you and anoint you with oil right now. So you got the bottle? So we're going to have you stand right here and this direction here. And let's just gather around her. And I'm going to start praying for her, and then everyone takes turn and pray for her. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Would you stand with me here at the congregation? We thank you, Father God, right now for Carol West. And Father God, she has a tremendous testimony. And Lord, it was a time when the hippies were running around this country, Father God, and she was tempted to be part of that, the new age. But you saved this woman, preserved her, filled her with your knowledge and grace and mercy and Holy Spirit. And we pray today, Father God, a tremendous anointing to come upon her right now, as she's been given a title of a deaconess. We acknowledge God's hand upon this woman. Yes. Thank you for healing her, strengthening her, giving wisdom in all the work that she does, Father. And we bless you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get the microphone here. Okay.
Father God, I want to lift up Carol to you. And I've got to know her with quite a few car rides we've taken together, Lord, on the way to prayer meeting. And I thank you, Father, for blessing her, for giving her the desires of her heart, Lord, that she's going to see that blossom before her, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for just showering her with your peace, with love, Lord. We know she works hard. And I thank you, Father, for giving her joy as she's working, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would meet all her needs physically, spiritually, emotionally, and that she would really enjoy her life here, and that she would be greatly fulfilled. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to have the opportunity to sit down together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, you know the work that Carol has been doing behind the scenes. You know her heart. You know that she moved up here. It was a joint decision with her and Ken. But Father, we also know that she does so much extra stuff behind the scenes. And Father, she truly has a servant's heart. So Father, we thank you for just her faithfulness of being here Sunday in, Sunday out, answering the phones, the work that she does and the counseling I think we'll only see the results of this up in heaven someday. But Father, we just thank you for her and her steadfastness to continue in the work that we're doing here. And thank you, God, just for an asset that you have provided us with. And thank you for us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, it's a privilege, Lord, to know Carol West. She came a long way from, all the way from Visalia, to be delivered and to be part of this ministry. And it's wonderful, Lord, that you led them to make the decision, her and Ken, to move here. And Lord, we thank you for using thereafter, Lord, in such a mighty way. You even have given a prophecy. He prophesied about things that we needed to know. And we want to thank you, O Lord, for giving, Lord, increase the power upon her. Increase the love in her heart. Thank you, Father, for the people that have been blessed by her praying for them, reaching out to them, sharing oh Lord, what they were going through. And thank you, Father, there's been a successful one. A lot of people were touched, and your name was glorified. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be partakers of what Carol is doing. And we bless you and thank you for filling her also with the knowledge of thy will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that she may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. And thank you for keeping her strong, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, keeping her steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as she knows, her labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord. And we are thankful, Lord, to have in us part of our ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, she's my sister. She came here to grow in the kingdom, and she has grown. Her husband is growing, and we thank you and praise you for that. And her name is Carol Rose, and she's like a beautiful flower opening up in the kingdom of God and the things that she's learning and doing, everything she does to help people. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you for Carol. I'm so grateful to have her joining us in the work that's serving you, Lord, as deaconesses. And Father God, I ask a special blessing on Carol for her health and her longevity and her ability to, the stamina she needs to do all the work she does. Father God, thank you for lifting her up and keeping her spirit fed, that she does not become discouraged. And Lord, just give your grace as needed, as we always appreciate it, Lord, because we know that without your grace, we can't do anything. So Father, we bless her. We ask you to pour your grace upon her and your love. And we just want to thank you for her in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to stay up here. We're going to pray prayer time. So those of you that like to come up here and be praying with us, just join us around here. And Sister Carol, you had to get your own frame. Okay. And can we get a frame for him? Not today, but this week.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I got two prayer requests here. Actually, we've got two prayer requests. We got more, but I'm going to pray for these today because we're running late. And this is from Grace Mann in Sweden. And he wrote again. He simply said, I want to thank you that you take time for us because I know that you have a lot to do in your own home church. Well, let me have news for you, Grace Mann and your wife. You're part of the church. You might be a satellite situation, but you're part of us. And they are asking for prayer. They are living in a city right now, an apartment house. And God has laid upon them to live in the country, to have a little place where she can raise some chickens and do some homeschooling with the children and take care of things. And he said, we have always gone our own way before. But now I believe that God wants us to do what is right. So please pray with us on this if we are going to move and to do this. We are very thankful that we have found this congregation, this church. And we really feel at home, even if there are thousands of miles between us. We talked about this, me and my wife. And in the future, we would like to travel and visit your church and be able to be there and to praise God with you. We pray often for you that God shall bless you for the work that you are doing and that your reward will be great in heaven. Thank God that you exist and may he bless you, Grace Mann and his wife. So I'm going to ask Thomas, you pray for this here. before Thomas prayed, we have a specific prayer. So right now, Thomas, come up right here and get some oil on this man. We need to pray for our brother. He's facing a lawsuit, actually two lawsuits. And this is over work that was done about 8 to 10 years ago. And the contractor, the general contractor, got sued, and they are dragging him into it. And his insurance companies, you know, as a country has insurance, and then when you need it, the insurance company says, well, you know, you did this or that, small little print, you built too many houses, we cannot cover you, you're on your own. So let's pray today that this will be destroyed. Okay, you got some oil? We got the oil there, okay. So let's gather here, put your hand forward as we pray for him right now. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up our brother Thomas to you right now. And Lord, you know there's not a lazy bone in this man's body. And he has worked first in the bread business, Father God, and then as a contractor. And Father God, you know he's been faithful. He has not cheated anyone. He carried insurance. He's paid his taxes on time. He's done all the things that needs to be done. And yet the system is crooked. And Father God, right now, they are hounding him and trying to take away and steal from him. And in the name of Jesus, we command right now, no one shall steal a dime from this man. They shall not be able to touch his business, his equipment, nothing. But these lawsuits shall come to an absolute destruction that shall just run out into the sand. And we thank you, Father God, for giving Thomas faith to simply proclaim, I am a child of the King. And Thomas, God did not bring you this far for to you to be destroyed. This is just another bump on the road to recovery, to victory, as God called you to be God's man in Yuba City. And we thank you right now, Father God, as a congregation, as we rally around Thomas, that we will continue to pray until this issue is done. And we thank you now in faith. It is done in heaven, and it will manifest on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you pray for grace, man.
Father God, thank you for that prayer that I just got, Lord. And then we know that's where things are settled. And I want to lift up to you, Grace Man. And I don't know how he got that name, but I like it. Amen. And so I guess Grace Man and Grace Woman is who I should refer to here, Lord. And the husband and wife. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us people in the body that are thousands of miles away, Lord. And that you have used this ministry to provide the gospel and the teaching of the Bible to people around the world. And I thank you, Father, for that extended body. And Lord, you know they need to move out into the country, or it is their desire to move into the country. They believe you've laid it on their heart to do that. So I thank you, Father, that you will provide the place, you will provide the finances, you will show them, lead them, guide them supernaturally, that all things will just fall into place in your time. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that when that does take place, that the they will be able to work the land, do a little farming. They will be able to homeschool like they're talking about. And Lord, there's beauty in farming, Lord. And it's wonderful to see a seed planted and then a harvest taken. And I thank you for that. I thank you for giving them their seed time and harvest. In reality in the earth, and then also in their spiritual walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that today we can proclaim that we were able to pay the rent on these facilities for this month of August. Father God, it came down to the last 2 days. But we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. And that, Father God, we had that taken care of. That need had been taken care of. And we thank you right now, Father God, for this congregation. I pray today, Lord, as we're going to have fellowship dinner here after the service, that your Holy Spirit will be with us. Help us, Father God, to fellowship. Let the love flow between us, Lord. And give us a great time, Father God, because you are good, and help us to move in your love. And we thank you for all things now, all the prayers, Father God, for all the people that have needs, that have been sick, that need work, whatever it is, Lord. We thank you that every prayer request today shall be answered. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. At this time, let's hand out our outlines. Okay, go ahead quickly then.
Okay. I had a prayer with my sister in Athens, Greece, a couple of days ago. And she, the nerve in her body, it's damaged. And I like to pray, and if you agree with me, let us all agree together and stretch our hands over as well as I pray for the sister mine in Athens, Greece. Heavenly Father, I lift up to you, Yota Papadopoulos, right now. And, O Lord, as you've shown me that there is spirit of bitterness there, we command right now the spirit of bitterness to lose Yota Papadopoulos in the name of Jesus, and command you to be bound, gagged, chained, taken to prison by God's holy angels in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask you right now, O Lord, that let the Lord be a creative miracle in that woman's body right now, we pray, in the name of Jesus, that the nerve will be replaced and that she will be back on her feet. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for touching Yota Papadopoulos, my sister in Athens, Greece. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.